Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence.
Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me. Knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time. Serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Peace, peace, welcome. Assalamu alaikum, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salat, wasalam, wala. Welcome everyone to Point of Impact. Here we are tonight, Sunday night, of course, being the 28th, which is a beautiful day, being my born day. We are here today celebrating my born day, and I hope everyone is celebrating their life in a positive way and continue to live positive lives. My co-hosts are here with us today. Y'all got to excuse me. I'm moving in the weather today. But I hope all our co-hosts are here. Hassan?
Yes, we're here.
And just to hear that you made it another cycle, brother. Yeah, that's a blessing in itself. So all praise due to Allah for that. Yeah.
Yes, and anyone who would like to speak today, please remember to press 1 so that you can get in on the conversation. If you're eager to get in on the conversation today, we would love to have you in the conversation. We're supposed to have a wonderful guest joining us today. Her name is Miss Angela William Graves, which I'm eager for you all to meet. This young lady
is a delegate, and she's running for Senate. But she's a very, very positive person. And I just want everybody to get an opportunity to speak to her as we speak to many of our guests and hear the positive things that they're doing. You got to excuse me because I was moving and grooving and trying to get things in order. And I was running a little behind because, as you know, being in this life of activism, you be tired. And I was out. Let's just be honest. I was knocked. This, my phone rang and woke me up. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was like 6:59.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, yo, whew, I had to get my jets right. Woo, and get on.
Sound like we have some interference.
Do we have interference? Can you hear me?
Oh, wow.
Can you hear me?
No,
okay.
It's great. I can't hear you at all. I hear
okay.
You're breaking up very bad.
Well, I don't know what that could be. The weather's bad out here. You're breaking up as well. So I don't know what that could be.
He just talking. Well, we're going to see if we do have Miss Angela Grace on the line.
Yeah. Miss Angela, are you with us?
I'm here.
Oh, she's down just as
I'm
bad.
Here, and I can hear all of you.
Oh, wow.
And I can
yeah.
hear all of you. Just so you know, I mean,
good.
There's like a little bit of crackling, but I can hear all of you.
Good. Then we're good. We're right where we need to be. You know, right where we need to be. And welcome, Ms. Graves. It's a pleasure to have you.
Why don't you try to
Hassan.
To hang up and call back and see if you can get a better line.
Hassan.
Is that me or you? You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you because I can hear you clear, but we can't hear them.
Right. All right. Hold on.
All right. So just, you know.
Okay. So welcome again, Ms. Graves.
There we go.
Hassan.
Oh, no.
Hassan. Listen,
yeah, you're still breaking up. You're still breaking up really bad.
Jay Sean, mute him.
Oh.
Mute him so he can get back. Because he's not here. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Miss Angela, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're having a little technical difficulty. Sometimes we don't always have that problem, but we do run into
that's
it
okay.
from time to time. And that's my wonderful co-host, Mr. Hassan Shabazz, brother to the people, and, of course, my wonderful mother queen, Krista Ellison. They'll be calling back in a second. So as soon as they come back in, they'll be joining us. Well, how are you? You want to talk to the people and tell everyone who you are and you know, what's going on with you?
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. When you said you woke up at like 6:58, I totally felt you. I've been nursing a little bit of a headache today. And so
wow.
I feel better. It's dulled down. It feels like it's trying to go away. So I totally feel
right.
I feel it. But I am Delegate Angela Williams Graves. I am the delegate that currently represents the 90th House District in the House of Delegates in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That district is the eastern part of the city and a little bit of Virginia Beach. And so I've been in the House of Delegates for 3 years. I went in 2021. Prior to that, I served 10 years on Norfolk City Council. And prior to that, I worked for the city for about 8 or 9 years before I was elected to city council. And right now, I am running for the 21st District Senate seat, which is an all-Norfolk Senate seat. About 90,
right.
It includes about 92 or 93% of the city of Norfolk in this district. But the beauty is that it is an all-Norfolk Senate seat. And we have not had an all-Norfolk Senate seat since before Senator Yvonne Miller. which is more than 35 years ago when she went in to a legislature. We haven't had an on-offer Senate seat since way before then, so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, oh, trust me, I'm excited. I'm excited myself, and you know, just to know that you're running is exciting to me, because you're very I just got to tell the audience this is a very engaging sister. You know, I have not yet been in her presence to where she is not engaged with people. She has not communicated well with people. And I see that she has a very, very, she's very, very well respected in the community. So, you know, it's grateful to see someone with, could I say, your comfort with the community, you know what I'm saying, moving in the direction to try to, you know, get in a seat that can make a difference and bring some changes to our community if necessary. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I appreciate it.
So
what is tell the people what are some of the things that you yourself throughout your path, what are some of the things that you've done? Because you worked with council, you became a delegate. What are some of the things that you have been able to accomplish and do for the community?
Well, there's quite a bit. I mean, we do a lot of work, and I believe we do a lot of good work, but there are usually about three bills that I am most proud of that I highlight that I carry myself. One is a bill to make in-home daycare safer. So when I went to the House of Delegates in 2021, we were kind of dealing with COVID, right? We were still in COVID in the early part of 2021. And in 2020, there were two children who had died in the city of Norfolk in unregulated day centers, right? They died in the care of folks, in the houses of folks that were supposed to take care of them, and they did not. And so one of the first things that I did was I wrote a bill that would allow localities to develop their own standards for regulating in-home daycare. If you're in-home daycare, and here's the thing, what most people don't realize, if somebody recommended Miss Sally to you and said, you know, they're great and, you know, they take good care of my kids. You take your kids there and whatnot, and you don't even, most people don't really think to check to see if they're licensed, if they're regulated, and all that kind of stuff. They just make the assumption that everything is good. You go, it's clean, it looks nice, the people are nice, and all that. And so that was one of the first was to regulate in-home daycare. The second bill that I'm really proud of is a bill that actually relieves the responsibility of surviving spouses of their deceased spouses' medical and health care debt. So what people don't know is that right now, if you go to hospital and your spouse dies and there's outstanding debt, if you're underinsured, if you're uninsured, if you got, you know, something that the insurance declines, the surviving spouse, in addition to grieving, can be caught up in collection activity from the hospital for that debt. So July 1, that goes away. That goes away. And then the last thing is, that's a big one, because realistically, hospital debt is one of the leading causes for folks to file bankruptcy. It's just annoying.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, we ain't never going to pay this off. You know what I'm saying?
We're never going to pay this off. Yeah.
And so
that's
a big deal.
School tuition in hospitals,
exactly. I was just telling somebody, I just got the notification that they took my student loan payment for this month, okay? So and then the last bill is the increase in jury duty. So jury duty pay for the last 30 years has been $30 a day since 1993.
Wow.
It's been $30 a day. And so I worked on the bill that wrote the bill that increased jury duty pay from $30 a day to $50 a day so that, you know, people could be somewhat remotely compensated, right, for the time that they take off. Because every employer doesn't pay for your jury duty. You know, if you get called for jury duty, they are like, well, either you don't get paid or you have to use your own leave time if you have any, right? And so, yeah, that was a big deal. So come July 1st, jury duty pay will increase from $30 a day to $50 a day. A couple of bills that I voted on, we decriminalized marijuana. We repealed the death penalty. That was one of the proudest votes that I took, was repealing the death penalty. We've given raises to teachers, 10% raises to teachers. And so it's been a really productive 3 years. I'm very, very proud of the work that I've done in the General Assembly in the last 3 years.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Right now, I'm going to let you meet. We got him back. That's my mother queen, the beautiful sister, Krista Ellison. Krista, you want to speak to Miss Graves real quick?
Okay.
Yeah. Krista, are you there? Okay. She might be hung up for the moment. Milan.
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, she there?
This is Angela. I'm here.
Yeah, no, I know you there. Okay. Hassan, is there anything you can
say? Yeah. Oh, most definitely, most definitely. First and foremost, I want to just commend you on all the beautiful work that you're doing out in the community. I think that it has been far too long since we had the proper representation, individuals that we can really count on within the position such as yours. So first and foremost, I just want to commend you and say thank you for being here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on to what you was talking about. I really like all the legislation and everything that you were speaking of. But one thing that I really wanted to look at, when you talked about the jury duty, right, and the effect that really has upon our community, I think people really don't understand how important that is when you're talking about raising the amount of money that's paid toward those who devote their time to jury duty, right?
Right.
And in essence, as a civic duty, right, to be on a jury, you have to be registered to vote. And so I think that what you're doing goes hand in hand with the fact that we want to be represented on juries, because a lot of the times we're the ones that's in front of the jury.
That's right. You know what? So I'm gonna tell you that's a big deal, because when I presented this bill, I was like, I don't know anybody in my peer group that can work for $30 a day. And if you think about it, right, you can't take your phone into the courthouse. So not only are you losing money by only working for $30 a day, you are cut off from everybody else because you can't take your cell phone into the courthouse. So my phone is like my moneymaker, right? I sell residential real estate for a living, and that's my moneymaker. So I'm losing money, and I can't make money. But I'm doing my civic duty. And I just don't think that people understand that. And then when it comes to, like, the jury of your peers part, it's like if you're wealthy or if you're retired, those are the only people who can legitimately work for that amount of money where it doesn't matter to them, right?
Right.
And people who work every day, you can't, you know, if you're making $15 an hour, I mean, that's only two hours of your work at $30. I mean, even at $15, it's only 3 hours, you know. So you're losing money, you know, doing that. And so I agree with you that when you talk about a jury of your peers, it really should be a jury that is representative of the person who is charged with a crime, and that's a big deal for me.
Kristen, you there?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
How doing? But not only that, emotionally and mentally, you're in charge or you're governing someone else's
livelihood. You have to ultimately give the decision of whether this person goes to prison or, you know, not, or come home. So what that does to a person emotionally, too, should have some stake in how they're, you know, how they're paid, or are they going to get mental or, you know, health care or whatever. I think a lot of things need to go into all that when it comes to being on jury. I've done jury duty numerous of times and didn't feel good going home. You know what I'm saying? Didn't, you know, not sitting up there listening to the, you know, listening to different cases. So I most definitely understand there should be more compensation for not just financial, but even, you know, psychological, you know, helpful.
Can I just briefly add something really, really quickly? With that point right there and the emotional aspect of it, I also think about how many people who write that sacrificing that time to be there for maybe that $30 a day or whatever, that that's not enough for people to even want to be there. So if they're there, many times they are in a rush to get up out of there. Like, what's this going on? Man, I ain't trying to be here, man. Guilty. You say guilty, all right, cool. I'm out, right? And so the people who do have the money to sit there and really listen to you, right? Are people that don't look like us, just like you say.
Right, and they can't relate.
Right, that's right. They cannot relate. And so often that individual, that disenfranchised, marginalized individual goes down the drain.
And you know, the other thing too is that we have people who risk getting a bench warrant because they can't afford to not go to work. They make a conscious decision. I'm just going to take my chances and see what happens. And maybe they'll send me to jail. Maybe they won't. Maybe I got to go up here before a judge. Maybe I won't. They will make a conscious decision. I got to feed my family. And I just can't do this.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way.
Well, that was very insightful about jury duty. I'm just being 100 because I've never really expounded on those issues concerning jury duty. You know what I'm saying? Going up through life, you know, you're raised to kind of, when it comes to judicial things, you know, in the black community, it's like shunned. You know what I mean? So you don't really talk about those typical issues that are going on in our ineffective. Now, you've been a resident of Norfolk for how long, Norfolk, Virginia?
My whole life. I was born and raised here, born right over there in the General Hospital when it was one little building. Born right over there. My parents, if y'all familiar with St. Mary's Catholic Church in Tower Gardens, my parents sent me to St. Mary's Catholic School, all black Catholic school. And then I graduated from Booker T. And I graduated from Old Dominion, from CCC and near Old Dominion.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So I'm a Norfolk girl for real.
and I think that's imperative to the, you know, the citizens of Norfolk, having someone of your, you know, your possibilities and things to be in a position to contribute to the betterment of their community, because so often we have people who come from elsewhere who come into these communities and they try to, you know, insert ideas of theirs where they come from that don't really impact where they're at, you know what I'm saying, because of their indifference of where they were, you know. So tell us.
Yeah, or they just come and capitalize off of off of another issue.
Right. Krista, is there anything you would like to ask Krista?
You know, I'm just listening to all the things that she has fought for and wrote bills for, and it just shows that she's really listened and really sat back analyzed and dissect the needs of the people, the daycare, the surviving spouse debt, you know, and all the rest of things that, you know, we don't really, like you say, turn a blind eye to or don't really take heed to, or it just be thrown by the wayside a lot of times. But I really commend you on, you know, really dissecting the needs of the people. It shows that you really care and you have a listening ear to what's going on in the streets. Not only are you in the office behind the desk, but you're also boots on the ground as well. So that's amazing.
Do you like to respond to that, Ms. Briggs?
Well, I get the opportunity oftentimes to sit in rooms where other people don't. And so I get the surviving spouse's bill came from a conversation with some financially wealthy women that I was in the room with. And we had an update on a project that we were working on. And the lady said that Virginia is one of the few states where hospitals can still go after the surviving spouse for medical debt. And I was like,
wow.
I said, wait, I got a question. And I said, can you repeat that to make sure I heard you right? And she said it again. I said, oh. And I remember calling my best friend that night. I said, girl, did you know? Because her husband had been ill, and my husband had had knee replacement surgery. And I just went back in my mind to those bills that are not a bill, you know, the ones they send you and they tell you how much everything costs, right? And I was like, you mean to tell me that if we don't have proper insurance and they die, the hospital can come out? I was like, no, we're going to fix that. But that came from sitting in a room where there were not a lot of people like me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sitting in that room. And this was the type of conversation. But those are the kinds of things that affect people like me, because most times the people who are charged with this stuff are the people who are least able to pay it.
Right, absolutely.
I used to be a life insurance agent. So when you have those life insurance policies, and say, for instance, I pass, my life insurance policy is taxed 65% upon my death, and then 65% again when I pass it on to the next of kin. So what are they really left with?
Right. If you leave life insurance, if you have a house that's paid for, if you got a little bit of savings, the last thing that you want is for the hospital to come and take it. That's not the purpose, the intended purpose of what, you know, and they got all kinds of foundations and all kinds of stuff to be able to cover those costs. They write in their budget a certain number of millions of dollars that they write off every year. So this is not hurting them. You know what I'm saying? It's not hurting them at all. And so I was like, oh, my goodness. And so that really gave me, like, to take some real issue that has the potential to hurt people and be able to change it to a situation that would benefit people, especially marginalized people, underinsured and uninsured folks. That was like, that's one of the things I love about this job, is that we do all the big picture stuff. We do all that, the budget and this and that and that and this. We do all that. But those things that actually are able to change people's lives on the real, that's what I love the most about this job that I have in public service.
Wow. And you know what? That is so touching to hear, because I can relate. Because as an activist, as a community activist and a community leader, you know, that's one of the passions. You know, people don't understand that it's a reward that you really feel stimulated by, to know that you're out here making a difference. If it's just one person, and people really don't understand the reward. And I tell people, you know, that's one of the things I try to insight throughout the show. We always remind people to take a moment to do just one thing that will benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter. And this is so important for our community to understand the peace that comes with, you know, doing positive things and knowing that
right.
you impact somebody's life in a positive way. And you're on that big stage doing it, and I'm grateful for that. You know what I'm saying? So, Hassan, anything else you would like to add?
Yes, I mean, you know, this is just a little bit toward, you know, where you are now. I want to know, do you have any higher political aspirations, you know, with your career?
Well, what I'll tell you, my perspective on that has always been, if I do a good job where I am, people will elect me and doors will open for other things. So going from the House to the Senate, going from City Council to the House of Delegates is an example of that. Going from the
right.
House to the Senate is an example of that. You don't have to bust down doors, and you don't have to plot and plan and stab people in the back. I believe that if you do the right things and you sow the right seeds, that those things will come back and bless your life, and you will be blessed
mm-hmm.
with opportunity. And so that's the way that I've always worked, to just do the right thing with the information that I have at the time, and do my homework, but to just do what is right and do right by folks, right? My father was a pastor. My mother was a school teacher and a missionary. And I grew up in a home where I saw my mom and dad do right by people on Sunday, but I also saw my mom and dad do right by people when wasn't nobody watching. And so that really left an impact in my life about doing the right thing by people. And
mm-hmm.
I often say, you know, even when folk get on my nerves and I want to, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, and I'm like, God won't even let me be ugly because he's like, nope, I got you.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I got you. You just sit and chill. And it just kind of reminds me of a saying I see on Facebook. It's like, I'm going to let God handle it because his payback is way better than mine. So I'm good.
Hello.
Like,
no doubt.
You know,
right, man.
His payback is way better than mine. And so my goal is just to do my job well, to do right
wow.
by people, to do the right thing, and to be a woman of my word, and to tell people,
yes.
I know people that will tell folks anything. They in one room, they'll say one thing. They're in another room, they'll say something else. They promising people the world. But I will tell you, if something can be done, then that's the answer you're going to get. And if it's not going to be done, that's the answer you're going to get too. And I'm not going to, you know, I've always been that person that will tell you
what?
If a yes is a yes, it's yes. And if it's no, it's no. And if it's maybe, let's see how we can work it out. Then let's really see how we can work it out, you know. But I don't know what the future holds. My goal is to win this primary election on June 20th and go to the Senate and then do that job well and then see what doors God opens for me as a result of me doing the work that he has laid out for me.
Wow, that's wonderful. And that's a great question, Hassan. You know,
yeah.
bringing the point, you know, when you spoke upon the factor of, you know, knowing that, you know, you were raised in a certain culture and
mm-hmm.
being able to fall back on that culture and actualize it in your life today, you know, is
mm-hmm.
really important. I think
mm-hmm.
That's one of the issues we have with our community. Now, with Norfolk being one of the state's most intense place of incarceration, right?
Mm-hmm.
What things do you think can be impactful now that you would like to see maybe in the community that can help rectify those issues of the incarceration rate in the city of Norfolk?
Well, I think that there are a lot of things that impact incarceration. I think that there's a breakdown of the family structure in our community. I've often said that one of the reasons why I'm supportive of teachers, not just because my mother was one, it's because that for some children, the only positive role models they have are the ones
okay.
in school. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I had two positive role models at home, right? And so I, but for some children, the only positive role models that they have are in schools. And we've got to work really hard to help our parents to, not just other folks' parents, but our parents to regain control of their households, to regain control of their children, and to have, and to be good, give them the tools that they need in order to be good role models for their children. Because when you see children acting out, all they're doing is acting like what they see at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We were talking about this the other day, and folks were talking about kids cussing. And I was telling somebody, I had to sneak and cuss. Cause I got to sneak and cuss. Okay, I mean, like, be way away from my house. You know, way away from my mom and dad, right? And one of the whippings I got, because my parents believed in whippings. One of the whippings I got was from thinking I was grown and could cuss at home. That was not happening. Okay,
we've got to teach
parents how to be good parents and how to be good role models in front of their children, so that we don't have, because if they don't follow rules at home, they're not going to follow rules in society. And when you don't follow rules in society, that's how you end up at 811 East City Hall Avenue, okay?
Yes.
And that's jail.
Yeah, tell them that address again.
811 East City Hall Avenue is not the place you want to be, because they're going to leave the light on for you. You know, and so I think that's a foundation. You know, if children don't go to church, if they don't go to synagogue, if they don't go to mosque, if they don't go somewhere where they are getting some kind of spiritual foundation and they're not getting it at home, that's problematic. And that's something that as a community we have to do. I believe that what we need is some more intervention-type services, you know, for our young people who are in juvenile detention and things of that nature, so that they don't grow up thinking in and out of jail is a way of life. That's not a way of life. That's not a way. There's no civilized person who belongs in jail. And a lot of people don't realize their own value and their own worth. And so they settle for this, and they think this is a way of life, and it is not. Now, when it comes to, like, restoration of rights, once you've done your time and once you've done, you know, I believe that people should have automatic restoration of rights. As it stands right now, the rights, the restoration of rights, according to the Constitution of Virginia, is in the hands of one individual, and that is the governor. So it just depends on what day of the week we got, whatever governor we've got, is whether or not your rights are restored expeditiously, or whether or not your rights are restored in a manner that is time-consuming and that bars you from becoming a complete citizen of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And what folks don't realize on the other side of the aisle is, if you're the aisle that gives people their rights back, don't you think they might be inclined to support you? People always think in the Republican side that, you know, we're going to be throwing all these rights and they're going to vote Democratic. But if a Republican governor gives you your rights back, don't you think that that person might at least be a little bit more inclined to support the person who made them whole?
Right.
So we've got to do some stuff. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's like you all don't, you know, they don't think beyond. They think all criminals are Democrats, and all the folks in jail are you know, are of a certain race, right? And it's just not. That's just a very short-sighted way of looking at things. But I believe that we should have restoration of rights. I believe we should have automatic restoration of rights. There are some bills to change, some processes started to change the Constitution, but changing the Constitution is a process in and of itself.
That is
not easy. It's not an easy thing to do.
Let me just
remind the callers that if you're calling in and you would like to speak and contribute to this conversation in a positive way, please, by giving a comment or question, just please press 1, and we will allow you to come in and speak. I just want to real quickly speak on the juvenile issue, because I'm glad you touched on that, because as the chairperson for the Criminal Justice Committee of the NAACP of Norfolk, mm-hmm. we are inclining ourselves to push legislation for a bill that we want to see passed called Point of mm-hmm. Impact. And Point of
okay.
Impact bill is going, we would like to address the issues of legislation being renewed to where youth who are incarcerated and they are first-time offenders, no matter the similitude of crime, that there are alternatives greatly imposed to their sentencing that will grant them an opportunity for change in life instead of just sending them down the pipeline of imprisonment. Can you speak more to why it is so important to have legislation that protects our youth, even though, I mean, let me be clear. There mm-hmm. are some very severe crimes that our youth are doing today in today's time.
Right.
So
right.
we don't want to give people an exit out and mm-hmm. think that it's okay to do it. But when you're at the age of these youth today, whether it's 15, mm-hmm. 13 years old, 17 years mm-hmm. old, and these immature minds are doing things that are predicated from the experiences of their society around them and mm-hmm. you know, due to peer pressure and things of that nature. You know, I just think it's very, very imperative that we recognize the ills of our society, you know what I'm saying,
right.
and that contribute to the actions of our youth. Can you, mm-hmm. and let me just tell everybody this, we are bipartisan on this show. We you mm-hmm. know, and I'm grateful that she spoke in that general. We're bipartisan. We're not here to big up the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. We're here to big up our community and get people,
mm-hmm.
you know, involved in rectifying the issues of our community. That's what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
at this moment, do we have anyone calling in? Okay. Do we have anyone, Jay Sean?
Hello.
Peace. Who's speaking? Hello?
Hello, Latoya.
Hey, Latoya. How are you?
Hey, Latoya.
Hello, Crystal, Sister Crystal, Brother Hassan. I want to
yeah.
say happy birthday. I hope God fills your day with a lot of love, joy, and happiness. Yes. And I also want to say today, to the beautiful speaker, continue doing what you're doing because God is making it work out for you. You continue asking him to lead, you're going to continue following him.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you so much. That's our family member, the point of impact family member, Miss Latoya. It's a pleasure to have
thank
you today.
I want to chime in real quick. Lamal, and say grand rising to everybody on the line in OCO, which for those who don't know what OCO means, it means I come in peace. I just want to speak
peace.
Out to what the young lady was sharing on the line and what I don't want to
yes,
do and
Ms.
what
Graves.
I'm not going to do and take her down a rabbit hole. So I'll say this in short. You were right about everything that you said. That the problem is that first thing is the Constitution wasn't wrote for us. It was never put in place. It was never wrote for us. And the lawmakers are the law breakers, every last one of them, that have put laws into effect. They're the ones, Republicans and the Democrats, the people that's over top of them who make these laws, they're the ones who break these laws. With that, you know, I want to say just, you know, it was a lot to what you said, and I can expand on a lot to what you said, even when it comes to diapers, because I've dealt with diapers. I've had someone in my house that came from diapers that I took care of like 5 years. So it's a lot to that also, that system also. And everything was by design anyway. And we can't let our system that's put in place to teach our kids. It's up to us to teach our kids and guide them in the right direction.
And that don't mean that when they start going off in the wrong directions that their parents were bad parents. It doesn't mean that. It just means that they chose to break to the peer pressure, and that's why it's good for us to stay on them. So I just want to say to everybody online, peace, and I regress.
Okay, thank you, Brother Leon. That was Brother Leon. Okay. And Ms. Graves, you want to speak to that? You want to speak to anything?
Oh, absolutely. So I appreciate the comment. I would say I make laws and I don't break them. I don't like orange unless I pick it out myself. I'm not trying to be in no jumpsuit unless I buy it myself. I have worked in the jail. Let me tell you, I really did. I worked at the Norfolk Sheriff's Office for a few years, and that was not the environment for me when the doors would open for me because I was an employee there. So I know it's not the environment for me when the doors don't open, all right? But I get what you're saying because I understand the climate that we're in. And I agree with you in that the Constitution was not necessarily written for us. And the criminal justice system, somebody said at one time it was broken. And then somebody else said, no, it's doing what it was designed to do. And so what we're working on is some criminal justice reform. And it's hard. Okay, you have to understand it is very, very hard because there are a lot of different perspectives that are at the table that bring their own positions, they bring their own experiences, they bring their own, you know, they have different constituencies of people that they represent. And so it's not as easy to do these things. It's not as easy to undo it as it was back in the day to do it. And so,
right.
But the other piece on that you talked about on the juvenile, you know, the juvenile piece and parents, I agree with you that just because you have children or adults who have chosen to do the wrong thing, you have parents who are doing everything that they can and they're doing everything that they know how to do in order to get their kids, you know, to keep their kids on the right track. And sometimes they just make bad decisions. And peer pressure is at a whole nother level than it was when I was growing up, you know, and probably when y'all were growing up too. Peer pressure is at a whole nother level. I personally ain't never been scared of saying no. My father taught me that. He taught me that if you have to walk away by yourself and go about your business on your own, don't be afraid to go anywhere by yourself. Don't be able to be afraid to be by yourself. Don't be afraid to say no, right? And he also taught me something else, and it was to think about the consequences, which I really believe that we're not teaching our children. Think about the consequences of your actions. Not just what good can happen the way you want it to happen. Well, what is the worst thing that can happen if I do this? And am I prepared for the worst thing that can happen? And if you are able to, if you're prepared for the worst thing that can happen, then, you know, make your decision. But he taught me to think about consequences, you know. And so I think that what we really have to do is talk to our children, not at them, but to them and with them and listen to them and what they're going through and not minimize what they're going through and the things that they're dealing with. Because these kids are dealing with some stuff.
Yes, they are.
In their neighborhoods, in schools.
Yes, ma'am.
They are dealing with some stuff as 13 and 14. He's talking about 16, 17-year-olds. No, 12. 13, 14,
right.
8, 9,
right.
10. These kids are dealing with some stuff, and they do not have the mental and emotional capacity to deal with it. And if we're not helping them to cope with it, and I know life is tough for parents as well. It's hard for grown folks. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for adults. But we have got to help our kids to deal with this stuff because they're going to act out of fear. They're going to act out of anger. They're going to act out of frustration. You know, they're going to act out of stress. I had kids tell me that kids act out because they stressed out. And I thought to myself, well, y'all kids, what y'all stressed out about? And when he started telling me this stuff, I was like, oh. We have to stop thinking that children are in school and dealing with the stuff we dealt with. They're dealing with far more. They're dealing with far more than we are dealing with. And so it's just incumbent upon us to be positive role models for them and sit and listen and talk to them, you know, and talk with them and hear them out. You know, it really, really is. I cannot stress that enough. But to the brother who called, nah, bro, I ain't trying to do orange. I'm sorry. That's not the new black. I'm not doing that.
That's right. And I deeply appreciate, you know what I'm saying, you speaking towards the teaching, you know, and the teachers. You know, our teachers are so underappreciated. They are so underappreciated, and it's something, and not just the teachers, but the administration of the school, you know, schools are very, very disappreciated. I know this firsthand personally, and it's like one of the things that I always strive to, and me and my co-host, my team, we always strive to, you know, perpetuate to the people and speak towards is the community, the old vintage of saying it takes a village to raise a child. And we really have to, you know, and I know this is, you know, something we commonly hear, and but it's real. It takes a village and it takes a community to come together. You know, a nation isn't built on just two people. A nation is built upon, you know, family, and then the family building community, and then the community and family and community together working to uplift a nation. So it takes that, and with our pressing issues, we definitely need that today. So we have, like, I know it's too. Come
can
on,
I say one more thing on that parent thing? Because I'm going to say, and this is really not going to be popular, but it's the truth. As parents, I'm not a birth parent, so I'm going to put that disclosure out there as well. I have two bonus sons. Okay. They are wonderful. They are grown, but I didn't give birth to them, and I didn't raise them. Their mom and daddy did a great job before I even came along. But here's the deal. Parents got to stop taking up for their kids' bad behavior.
That's right.
When you know your kid is wrong, when you know they're wrong, there has to be some consequence. My mother used to say, if I don't beat you, the world will beat you, and the world will beat you worse than I ever could.
Wow.
And so parents have to stop going up to the schoolhouse, laying out the teacher when they know their kid was wrong. They know it. Mm-hmm. We've got to start teaching our children consequences, because that's how they end up at 8-11. They think
that's
they can
right.
do. We've taught them this because we have defended their bad behavior, and there's been no consequence to their actions. And then they go out here and they do stuff, and then they wonder why they end up in handcuffs.
Wow.
You know, nobody taught them.
Yes,
parents are the first teachers. Right. Nobody taught them. So we've got to do some stuff together as a community, as parents. I happen to parent. I'm not a biological parent, but I parent a bunch of folks. We've got to do some stuff as a community to do that.
That's right. That's right. Wow. And you hit that nail on the head. And that was a wonderful way for us to end the night. But we have like 6 minutes. So 3 minutes, 2 minutes of this time. Is there anything that you feel most imperative that you would like to leave the audience with tonight about yourself and what it is that you intend and what your intentions are, your niat are within your heart? And would you just like to leave that with us tonight? Because I know you weren't feeling well, and I'm very appreciative. Let me just say to everyone, she didn't know whether she was going to be able to be with us for an hour, and she has certainly been here for over an hour, and I deeply appreciate you giving us that time. You know, thank you so much, Ms. Graves. Thank you so much for being here tonight. It was very, very important to us.
You're very welcome. So I'll say this. Elections are important. And it's not about whether or not everything happens the way that you want it to happen. But elections are very important. And I tell people all the time, you can be married to somebody and love them dearly, and you don't agree with everything all the time. So don't expect that you're going to
agree with their elected official on every single issue. But I am always open and willing to talk to people about why I vote the way that I vote. I'm always willing to listen to somebody else's perspective on an issue. And then we either agree on it or we agree to disagree and we move on to the next issue. This election is June 20th, and there are a whole lot of people counting on folks not to vote. I'm counting on folks to vote, and I am asking that I am a pro-choice candidate. I believe that women should have the right to choose what happens to their own bodies. I am a pro-public education candidate. I believe that we should be funding public education. I am a pro-gun common sense candidate. I believe that we should have common sense gun control. We need to get these guns out of the hands of our children and our young people and off of these streets. And I want to make sure that we have an economy that works for everybody. And so I'm simply asking people between now and June 20th, you can vote Monday through Friday in Norfolk at City Hall, between 9 and 5 at City Hall. You can go and you can vote early or you can vote on June 20th, but make your voice heard. If your vote was not important, folks would not be trying to nullify your vote, silence your vote, or make it more difficult for you to vote. That should be a clue. If it didn't mean nothing, wouldn't nobody be doing nothing? But it means something. And that's the reason why people are trying to keep you from doing it. And then on top of that, people died for us to be able to vote. And women, they put us in a crazy house back in the day and did all kinds of stuff to us because we wanted the right to vote as women. So every woman ought to get up and go vote that's registered. And if you're not registered, you need to go register to vote. But this Senate election is on June 20th. For the Democratic primary, there is not a Republican running in this district. So whoever wins the June 20th primary will be the senator from Norfolk. And I will leave you with this. I have been your councilwoman. I am your delegate. And it would be my honor to be your next state senator representing District 21. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and I'm so grateful. Again, I give all praise, alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to Allah God for giving us this opportunity to have a platform that allows common people and people of yourself of political persuasion to come together to talk about issues that we can rectify. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very, very grateful. And on behalf of my team, Mother Queen Krista Ellison and Hassan, Brother to the People, Hassan Shabazz, I thank you so much for giving us your time, even though you are under the weather. And I deeply appreciate you, sister.
Y'all gave me energy. But, y'all gave me life. Y'all, I feel better. Y'all gave me energy, so thank you.
Y'all praise
me. That's wonderful.
Thank you. And with that, Sister Queen Mother Krista, is there any final words you want to give to the night and to the people?
Yes, just to kind of piggyback on, you know, freedom over everything. One of our biggest initiatives is making families whole again. So we have written up proposals and are trying to execute programs to put in the communities to do just that. And, you know, it just kind of solidifies everything that we're all on the same page when it comes to making families whole again and equality for the people who have not yet been treated fairly. You know, single fathers is on the rise because not only do men sometimes drop the ball, but sometimes women drop the ball as well when it comes to raising the children. So we also need to, you know, grab hold of those children that need nurturing from the mother, from a mother's standpoint, because fathers are just protectors and providers. And, I mean, you know, nurturers too, but for the most part, they mostly protect and provide. But, you know, when it comes to nurturing, that's, you know, majority of the women, and we're losing women just as much as we're losing men. So we have to really take heed to those families that are in need across the board. And our Spanish community, Latino communities, and other minorities, not just the blacks. So we all are in this pot together. So I just I continue to encourage you to do what you're doing. Wonderful job. I know you said soon, I mean, you take it in strides, but I could see you running for mayor one day. So I'm just looking to see where this goes, and I appreciate you wholeheartedly.
Thank you, Chris. And before you go, Ms. Angela William Graves, delegate, I would just like to invite you out June 3rd. We're having Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything in 757, Living Original Legends, as well as the Norfolk Branch Youth Council. We'll be having Liberation Day, Save the Youth Day. Liberation Save the Youth Day on June the 3rd, Saturday from 1 to 4. We're asking everyone to come out to give time to the youth. You know, we're going to be out there doing a number of things. We're going to have bounce houses.
You are there?
I think we lost them. Did we lose them?
We might have lost them, but I still see his number here, so let's see if his number see if he jumped back in. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Hassan or
okay.
Krista, y'all want to take over and close
out? Yeah, what I would do is if we can't get them back on, you know, we'll move forward to close off the show until we can get them back. But what I would like to say is, for one, I would like to thank you for being on the show tonight. I think that this is wonderful. I think it's necessary for people to see those who really striving on their behalf and fighting for the rights that they're striving to preserve within this government. What I want people to really know and take a hold to tonight is that everything that we do or that we don't do within this country, the world that we live in, evolves from a law which manifests itself from the political process, right? So if you do not know or understand the laws that are governing you, you will forever be a slave to those same politics and laws. So you have to be involved, right? You have to understand what it means to be civically engaged as long as you exist within a place governed by law. And so that means that we have to be a part of that political process. And so, you know, I'm reminded that every revolution that we've seen all over the world, not every revolution was a violent revolution. When you look at what Kwame Nkrumah and the political party did in Ghana to obtain independence, they put people in position in government to move and rule that government on their behalf. And so
So
we have to start to really understand what it means to empower ourselves within a political process until, in fact, we can create our own, if that's what we choose to do. But as long as we exist in a place where the political process is being implemented upon us, we must be a part of that political process in order to obtain our liberation and our freedom. This is just
yes,
reality. So,
yes. And thank you, Hassan, for taking the baton and keeping it moving. We've been having some technical difficulty today, so please forgive us if we shorten anybody or, you know, cut any message that maybe you felt was important to you. We're just having some struggles today. At this moment, we're gonna be closing for the show tonight. I know everybody would like to speak, but we're running over time. I want to thank Ms. Angela William Graves for coming out tonight and giving us her time and most importantly, her insightful knowledge and reminding us of getting out to be a part of the solution instead of sitting home being, a part of the problem. So that's very important. And I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight, Sister Latoya and Brother Leon, And, of course, my beautiful team, my co-host, Mother Queen Krista Ellison, and the brother to the people, Hassan Shabazz. So thank everybody. Jay Sean, is there anything you'd like to say in closing, brother?
First I just say happy born day to you, brother.
Oh, thank you.
And,
thank you.
And one more thing about the grand, about the jury duty, $30. Oh man, I remember I did jury duty about 4 times, and the last time in New Jersey it's only $5 a day, but then they raised it up to $10 a day. So you only get $10 in New Jersey, it's only $10 a day. But I did it like maybe 4 times. But the only reason I did it because, you know, I was into, you know, a lot of the criminal laws and things like that. But $30 a day is a big jump. That's not even enough. But imagine $10 a day in New Jersey. Or when I did it, it was $5 a day.
Wow. Wow. See, so that's what I'm saying. That was a topic that we need to probably touch on a little more, because that's not something we commonly talk about, you know, and that's a grave issue. But listen, this show was so impactful to me. As Point of Impact, this is exactly what we're here to do, and this is exactly what our intentions are, to bring about, you know, impactful information and conversation and dialogue that will bring about positive, impactful results. That's what we're here to do, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. Once again, I thank everyone, all praise and due to Allah, for everyone's efforts and participation. If you called in and we didn't get a chance to plug you in today, please forgive me and pardon us, because we did have technical difficulty in the very beginning, and we kind of struggled to get things going. So with that, we're going to close, and I just want to remind everyone, please take this time. Take this time to do something that will benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter, and that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community and your locality, okay? This is very important. And just to speak to this, I don't celebrate birthdays, but I do tell people all the time, celebrate your life every day. Every day that you are graced by Allah God to take a breath and live another day above this earth, is a day that you should be acknowledging as a born day, because you are having the opportunity to breathe again and do life and live life again. And I'm grateful for this love that my mother and my father extended to me to allow me to live life and to be the man that I am today. Thank you, Mom, and thank you, Dad. I love you very much. Thank you so much for giving me this gift of life. So with that, we're going to close, and I just say to everyone, be safe, be careful. Assalamu alaikum. Take care.
It's been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.